3K Blue, Logan, Utah. I'm Sean.
And I'm CJ.
All right, so today we have some soccer for you.
Yes. And really, I should take over this recap, Sean, seeing as I was actually at the game this Saturday. You were not, but that's okay for a casual person like Ethan, who's no longer with us, bless his heart. But not for you. So we can go by your excuses later. But I just want everyone listening to know that Sean was not actually at the game. And I thought we played fairly well. We went up 2-0 in the first half.
It took
a little bit of time for both teams to get it together. But we have to understand that Chicago is playing tomorrow. They play New England for the U.S. Open Cup semifinal round, I believe.
Right.
So it was kind of a confusing lineup that they came out with. They came out with their two starting strikers who took a while to get the rhythm of things. And they were subbed off immediately after the first half ended. And I would argue that the two guys who came on for them did a little better.
Yeah.
I mean, at least it looked like it live. How did it look on TV?
On TV, it looked pretty dang good, too. I think the biggest thing to take away from this game is how well we've been doing. Because the biggest problem we've had in the past, month has been not scoring goals.
Sure.
We have a great attack, but we're not scoring goals. And so I think this game was a thing we needed to be able to score all those goals. And they were good. They were great goals. I mean, Javi's definitely off the post was – I was jumping up and down at my home where I watched the game. I'm sure you were jumping up and down at the game as well.
I was.
And it was kind of – it was at a good time to also have that because we come off a loss at Toronto where we play well but, again, can't find the back of the net.
Right. Worse than that, I think that the one chance they had, they went in. And that's right. Sometimes that's how the game goes, unfortunately.
Yeah.
However, it is a bit disheartening for that to happen. We should also mention that midweek we went to Toronto and didn't do as well as we hoped we would.
Right.
For how well we played, at least. Mm-hmm. We were making great passes, making great runs, taking great shots, but we just couldn't get it in the back of the net. And part of that were great goalkeeping efforts.
Right, there were some crazy saves.
Yeah, give him credit where, credit is due. However, you kind of believe that the soccer gods maybe were against us that day for some reason.
Yeah.
I mean, we go into Philadelphia, we go down a goal, and mm-hmm. then we come back up 2 out of nowhere and win it. Maybe they're with us, and they're like, we got to slow it down a bit.
Yeah.
We can't be giving Real Salt Lake too much confidence right now.
That's true. And then, I don't know. I guess another cool thing, too, with this last game on Saturday is Nick Armando with that win becomes the all-time leader for most wins in the MLS for goalkeeper.
He pretty much he holds every record that a goalkeeper can hold the league.
Right. I saw a picture or a video on Facebook, kind of like a memoriam to him and his years.
Yeah.
And it's like all these records. It's like most wins, most games played, most PK saves, all these these stats, all-time MLS,
And not one Goalkeeper of the Year award in the entire 20 years that the league has been alive.
I think he got one.
No.
2013.
He's the only one who doesn't have one.
Really?
As far as all of his accommodations go. Yeah.
That's crazy.
He has so many things. He's never won that award.
Well, and it was kind of cool too because, obviously, Nick's still amazing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he is getting older and it's kind of cool to watch those highlights of, maybe 5 years ago and he's making all these crazy acrobatic saves. But Saturday, we saw some of those crazy acrobatic saves again.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of want him to go out with the most wins on a shutout.
But
let's give credit to Arturo Alvarez, who used to play for us.
Right.
Did not celebrate. I don't know mm-hmm. if they showed that on TV where you watched it.
I knew that.
But I was about 10 feet away from him when he scored that goal, and he looked right at the south goal, and he almost waved his hand in forgiveness. Again, I don't know if you caught that on TV. I definitely caught it. I was 10 feet away. Again, Sean, I just want you to know you were not at the game. And it was really cool of him to not celebrate. I don't know as far as other sports goes. Again, our friend Ethan is no longer with us. Rest his soul. He's usually our expert for other sports. And I don't know as far as scoring a touchdown on, you know, your last professional football team, whether or not you celebrate. I don't know. But a lot of people don't necessarily celebrate when they score against their team in soccer.
Right.
And he hasn't played with us for 5 years. I don't even think he was in the league for a little while. I think he just came back with Chicago. I think I he had gone to Mexico or somewhere down south.
Mm-hmm.
And he just came back. First time at Rio Tinto in 5 years when he left us.
Right.
And scores a goal, just looks right at us, says, "I'm sorry," and heads back to the center field.
Right. No, it's cool to see some players that have class like that, because there's definitely players that don't have class like that.
Yeah. Ronaldo, for one.
Oh, please. I'm thinking of one example in Sporting Kansas City when I was there. I was actually at the game.
Oh, okay.
Closer than you were, actually. It was an interesting game where the ref just let stoppage time go on and on.
I remember.
Yeah, and that guy scored, and he came over and taunted, our
Kai Kamara.
Yeah, taunted our biggest fan section over there.
Yep.
Yeah, he got bottles thrown at him. It was not a good thing.
Which is never a good thing.
Right.
Definitely don't ever throw anything onto the field, because that is just wrong.
Yeah.
But don't taunt the most rowdy supporter section.
Right.
And from what other players have said, maybe the most disrespectful supporting section. I've been to Denver, and they were pretty bad towards us as fans, as rival fans.
Right.
But not towards our players.
Yeah.
Portland, it's the classiest fans you will ever meet. And L.A. even was pretty classy. So
yeah,
I think that the fact that our fans, I know how rowdy they are. We sit with them when we're there.
Yeah.
But a lot of players have come out and said, you know, Salt Lake has some pretty, pretty disrespectful fans right behind that goal.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. It's like every time I take somebody new to the game and I'm sitting with you behind the goal, which I only started doing this season. If you haven't had a chance, I would definitely recommend go sitting behind South Goal. But if you do so, be aware that
it's a supporter section.
It is a supporter section, right. And they say things that you didn't even know were possible.
Right.
They have all sorts of sign language going on to let the players know that they don't like them. But it's a fun experience if you don't mind that. It's basically like a party for 90 minutes or more. You're sitting there partying.
One of my favorite chants that they have is when the opposing goalkeepers the south goal and they've been scored on, they like to call them out, right? So they will go, "Hey, whomever, it's all your fault." And I definitely think the goalkeeper who was in for Chicago was at fault entirely on at least Garcia's, probably Javi's. I don't know if they mentioned it in the commentary, but it looked like he dove a little early.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if they mentioned that in the commentary, but Javi went up to him after he scored and said something in his ear that looked something along the lines of, "You dove too early." I mean, I can't lip read very well, but there's only so many things he can say. And Javi's not the kind of guy who taunts an opposing player. He's a very classy person.
Yeah.
He's been in the league for years. He's been on our team for years. Mm-hmm. And he just wants to help everyone who plays the game. He loves the game. And so I really think that it looked like he just dove really early.
Right.
As for Garcia's goal, I understand that his line of vision to Garcia was blocked.
Yeah.
However, it was slow enough that he could have got it.
Yeah.
It just looked like he was diving the other way. Did they mention it at all?
They said it was an interesting goal just because of the pace, how slow it was.
It was really slow.
And the goalie just couldn't get there, I guess we're going to go into that more for Soccer for Slackers later, but it was a really slow pace ball that easily could have been saved.
Right.
You know? And, what I was going to say is, I actually saw on a interview before the game. I don't know if you saw that at the game, but I saw an interview before the game.
Uh-huh.
And they interviewed Jeff Kassar, and they kind of asked him, because I don't know if you knew this either. I didn't until they told me on TV, but Chicago is 35 games winless on the road.
Yep.
Well, now 36.
Yep.
And so they're asking Jeff Cassara, they say, how do you prepare for a team like that? Like, you can either, you know, you either break them down or you, like, they could come, you know, fighting from the corner kind of deal.
Right.
And he talked about coming out and starting off strong and kind of, like, breaking their will, which I think we did, you know, with Garcia's semi-lucky goal.
No, definitely. And I think that's the right kind of goal.
Right.
There are goals change games. Every mm-hmm. single goal will change a game. However, yeah. something that was that slow-paced, a shot that, I mean, let me just take you, we discussed this personally, but Sean and I were thinking, we were going through our thought process of when Garcia had the ball, when he shot, and when it went in. And it was basically the same, right? It was just yeah. like, wow, really? Yeah. You know what I mean? Wow, really? You're going to take that shot from yeah. there? Boot it harder.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Get a little more spin on it. Get speed.
Yeah.
And then, wow, really? The goalkeeper missed that
yeah.
somehow? I mean, it looked like three or four defenders, and then right. the goalkeeper all just, like, watched it roll right by it and right in the goal.
Right.
I don't even think – it definitely did not hit the back of the net before rolling on the grass for a few feet,
right.
if not a few yards, which is really interesting and begs the question, do you think that Garcia has earned a starting role? Now, he's in because Movsisian is out.
Right.
And I believe Movsisian had an opportunity to come in this game.
Right.
However, head coach Jeff Cassara talked to him and mentioned, you know, in the post-game interview that he maybe wasn't ready. Movsisian said, why risk it? You know what I
yeah.
mean? We're up 3-1.
Yeah, why? No reason to put him in, you know.
Right, exactly. And so, I mean, I don't know. Obviously, Garcia's not going to come in and take Movsisian's starting role.
Right, and that kind of brings us into our next segment of competition and for starting spots. I mean, this happens on every team, but it just seems like right now with Real Salt Lake,
it's really good.
There's so much competition.
I would say for the first time this season.
Yeah.
Even.
You know, we kind of talked about last week with Olave all of a sudden coming out and showing, like, hey, I'm still good.
Right.
And this week he comes in. I'm not sure it was Aaron Monhurt or were they just resting him, maybe?
No, they're just resting.
And Olave comes out and is like, hey, I'm still a relevant defender. Like, I can still do my job.
Definitely.
And that was pretty cool to see. I mean, you're seeing him play. It's a different style than what he played when he was younger,
yeah.
but he's doing his job.
Yeah.
You know, and like you said last week, it is a good thing to have that rotation. But, I mean, he's just one of the positions. I mean, when I sent you the kind of outline of today, like, I couldn't even list all the players, and we had, like, five or six names there. You know, you've got Olave, you've got Holness,
yep.
Jordan Allen,
Garcia,
and then the Wingert Phillips thing that's and Tony even, that's even in there.
And that's without mentioning Atanilla.
Yeah, as well. So it's a crazy competition right now.
Yeah, which is great because, mm-hmm. listen, Javier Morales, although he's had a fantastic week,
right.
three goals and I believe two assists in three games,
mm-hmm.
at least one, he's still 36, though.
Yeah.
He's still getting old. He still has a expiration date.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think up until this year with Allen and Holness we've necessarily had someone who could fill his role.
Right.
And it's been a hot topic of discussion that everyone has carefully avoided.
Right.
Who are we going to replace Javier Morales with?
Yeah, it's true.
Ultimately, he's irreplaceable. You cannot replace a fan favorite like Morales or Beckerman or Raimondo. You'll never
right.
be able to.
Right.
But you can definitely put someone in who will likely do some of the same things they did or do something different and have us be just yeah. as successful.
Well, it's kind of like Jordan Allen when he comes in. I mean, he plays every position, seems like.
Pretty much.
And, like, the other thing that's hard to replace Javi with, I mean, not just that he's a fan favorite, but, I mean, he is one of a kind in his play style with his vision on the field and everything. And, like, Jordan Allen doesn't have that same vision, but he has a lot of other things that maybe Javi doesn't anymore. You know, Jordan Allen's pretty quick.
Definitely.
And, you know, I feel like attacks a little bit more, but has the speed to get back if he gets caught, you know. Where Javi is more...
He relies on his technical ability a lot.
Right.
His view of the game. He plays a very smart role.
Right.
That he almost has to play because, like you said, he can't afford to play the speedster anymore.
Right.
He can't afford to make those long runs mm-hmm. back or forward.
Yeah.
We rely on a lot of our youth for that, and then we rely on Javier Morales to be that soccer guru.
Right.
To play the smart ball, to try to get opposing players off of their game
mm-hmm.
so that we can set up Burrito or Mavsisian or Plata or, you know, someone else.
Right.
Which is great and totally fine with me.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know if you saw this. I kind of was laughing to myself because, you know, I'm a huge Kyle guy. He's been my guy since day one.
Sure.
So I'm always excited when he takes those shots. I love to say Becker bomb.
Yeah, I know you do. And let me tell you a few things. Seems like a lot of people, except for me, enjoy this. And by no means do I want to badmouth our captain.
Right.
I honestly believe with my heart we will never find a captain as great as Kyle Beckerman.
Right.
And obviously he's in the now, not in the later. It's much harder to look in the future than it is to look at the present.
Yeah.
So maybe. Right? Mm-hmm. But he will go down as one of Real Salt Lake's most memorable players, even 100 years from now.
Yeah.
However, did you see from the television? I don't know how insanely wide his shot was. It was ridiculous. I mean, it went. So we're in section 9. We're right, really close to the goal. We're at least the right post.
Right.
Okay. Section 10 is basically the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty positive his landed in section 8 or what used to be the Kentucky corner.
Right.
Okay. It was so far wide that I have to ask why. I know you like saying Becker bomb, but he hasn't scored a Becker bomb in years.
Yeah.
So why keep trying? Give it to Luke. Look at Luke's shot.
Okay.
That was saved.
Yeah.
Okay. From what, 30 yards out?
Right.
And not only was it on frame, okay, mm-hmm. and took an incredible acrobatic save from the Chicago keeper
right.
for it to be out, but he scored those.
Yeah.
And he's consistently put those on frame.
That's true.
Okay, I get it. And I love Kyle Beckerman. I'm positive a lot of people like saying Becker bomb. I used to say it all the time myself, but he hasn't scored a Becker bomb in years.
Yeah.
It's kind of up. It's time for him to just close the book on those long range shots, okay? Because it doesn't matter what if he's on the 18, the 6, or the 28, okay? He's not gonna get it on frame.
I don't know, dude. I hope he scores a goal just to prove you wrong.
I hope he does too.
And yeah, I was super excited. And when he shot that, I was saying thank you.
Yeah, I know, because you were there. You didn't see how wide it went, like me.
But Luke's shots are pretty crazy. It kind of. I mean, they have more bend on them than Beckerman's do.
I wonder if that's because he grew up in England, playing just a few minutes away from Liverpool Stadium.
Yeah.
You know, went up through those programs. Eventually, he had to come to the States
mm-hmm.
and finish off some of his career here. But, I mean, it's just different style.
Yeah.
It's definitely a different style. And to be able to learn an English style of play as well as an American style of play makes him very adaptable, you know, to a number of different things. Our opponents for one,
mm-hmm.
our teammates for another.
Yeah.
I think he just has a more diversified resume, if you will.
Yeah. No, I remember the first time that I saw Luke score one of those shots, and I didn't even know what to say because we've never really had a player. I mean, Beckerman back then sometimes. But, like, his never had any crazy bend on it. It would just kind of float up to the corner or whatever, which is still a great shot. But Luke's, like, it has, you know, some crazy bends on it. And I just couldn't believe that we had someone that could do that, you know.
Right.
And I remember his first year, people were kind of debating whether or not Luke was going to be a big player at Real Salt Lake. And I think he's definitely proved that he has the capability to be.
I believe he's had a sort of short end of the stick.
Yeah.
And I understand that a number of people will disagree with me. However, when he first came in, I remember his first game was 2014 against LA.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I was there. And he scored, and it was amazing. And it was kind of like, who on earth is him? You know, who is this Luke Mulholland guy?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not a lot of people knew him. He was new. He came from the Tampa Bay Rowdies. And I remember when he signed him, a friend of mine was like, yeah, look at all these players, or look at all of these teams getting huge players. Like, I can't remember who else was signed around that time, but just for example, Ashley Cole.
Yeah.
Right. Robbie Keane. Mm-hmm. You know, big, huge players like that. Sasha Kljestan. And we get someone from the Tampa Bay Rowdies.
Right.
Not to discredit the NASL or the Tampa Bay Rowdies, but when other teams are getting players from the EPL or at least lower division teams in England and South America and in Spain and Portugal, etc., and we're kind of hunting the NASL and USL Pro.
Right.
It's kind of amazing to see what our scouts, like Andy Williams, for example, can do and what they look for.
Yeah. And
because he came in and was just amazing. However, I will say that he kind of lost his starting role to Luis Gil. And we all saw how that turned out.
Right. You know, I remember Luis Gil used to be one of my fan favorites, and then he wasn't anymore because he just stopped progressing, it felt like. But what I was going to say was is Real Salt Lake has never been the team to go out and sign a big player. Like, Burrito is arguably one of the biggest, Saburillo at the time. But, like, for most of our players, they're not, like, huge names. Like, even when we got Kyle and Raimondo, like, these were people that were, like, I know Raimondo was, like, added onto a trade or something.
Yeah.
Or, like, he wasn't a big player to sign. And, it makes me wonder sometimes if the teams that traded us, you know, Beckerman, which was Colorado, and then I believe, was it DC United that traded
Raimondo?
Yeah. So I wonder if they ever regret, like, you know, they look at it like, wow, this, like, we have the best goalie in the world, or in the MLS now. And, you know, we traded him away.
Maybe, but one championship in all the years that they've been with us doesn't really make someone the topic of envy, right?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, listen, we all love Real Salt Lake.
Right.
And they're really great. But we're just sour fans. We want more championships.
Yeah.
We've been there enough times and we've lost it enough times to know that the players want it just as badly.
Right.
But I'm wondering if the coaches have been working incredibly hard with our young guys, because look at Justin Glad.
Right.
Look at Aaron Mond. Mm-hmm. Justin Glad played most of the season with the Monarchs last year, I believe.
Right.
Up until we really needed him after Schuler went down.
Yeah, we had to pull him up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, it was still kind of Mond and Olave pulling the strings, at least as far as last year went. Before Glad came in and showed us how impactful he could be. And this year we have Holness. Allen has been slowly progressing for a while.
Right.
I remember his first goal against LA, and that same game he got a concussion and was out for most of the season.
I remember that, yeah.
Which was really unfortunate. But he didn't let it stunt his growth as much as I thought it might. He's still progressing. He's still trucking along. He's doing well.
Mm-hmm.
We have replacements in Okwuanu for Beltran.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, we have replacements for Kyle in Sturzer.
Yeah.
We have replacements for Raimondo in Antonilla.
Right.
Blata's still really young.
Yeah.
Like,
our competition right now, like we were saying earlier, is just, it is insane. Like, I feel like we have probably the most competition across the board of our starting spots than any other team.
That's easy to say that. But I would say more accurately, we have more competition than we've had all season.
Yeah, that too. Like,
because one thing that I've noticed that we've been able to do is put Olave in for Glad one game, then put Glad and Mond in and rest Olave, and then rest Mond. Rest Mond and put Glad and Olave in. And they kind of all three meshed well together. And so they have that little rotation where they'll go two games on, one game off.
Right.
Same with Phillips and Beltran or Wingert. Just depends on, you know, who needs some rest that week. I like the Sturzer Mulholland rotation.
Right.
I am really liking this Garcia rotation with Mavsisian, even though it is due to injury.
Right.
And I would love to see Mavsisian back as one of my favorite players. But it's really nice to see Garcia stepping up.
Right.
It's amazing to see him get that goal that he's needed for so long.
Right.
And it's just great to see him make runs and produce great assists and plays for our team. That assist he had for with Javi against Philadelphia was amazing.
Yeah.
That pass is one of the better passes I've seen of the season.
Right.
And it was just fantastic to see it come from a player who has been criticized quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know, by the fans.
Yeah, I was going to say by us. I know we criticize him quite a bit.
Yeah.
And as we were talking, I just thought of another name that maybe has slipped our mind for most of the season. It was Sonny.
Yeah.
Who got hurt earlier in the season. Didn't he break his cheekbones? Or?
Yeah, he fractured a few bones in his face. He should be back. What I've heard is he is in full training.
Mm-hmm.
And he should be back, I would argue, by the end of the month.
So now we have that name to throw into the hat of midfield.
Right. And the more Sturzer, Mulholland, and Beckerman can produce, the safer we can be with Sonny, which is overall a great thing.
Yeah.
If you look, Beltran got 60 minutes of rest yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Or this Saturday, sorry. Glad got an entire game of rest.
Right.
You know, Wingert got some rest after he came off. Mofsisian got some rest, and he's ready to go, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
You know, on the road, Javi got rest. He was subbed out.
Right.
Beckerman was subbed out. He got some rest.
Right.
You know, it's just great to see that we can rest some of our older players, and we will not skip a beat.
Right.
I noticed against Philadelphia when we took off Burrito, Javi, and Beckerman that our young players not only came in and just kept the rhythm, but Philadelphia still couldn't crack us down.
Yeah.
And that goes to, you know, that's amazing for our coaches, for our players to be putting in that kind of work in order to produce that result.
Right.
Is just fantastic. And
kind
of unwarrants the criticism that at least Kassar gets.
Yeah. Because that's what I was going to say. Like, I remember, you know, until this last couple of weeks, I haven't felt comfortable subbing in other people. Like, if
Definitely.
We're, you know, like, I'd be scared we get scored on or whatever. But, like, I haven't felt comfortable since Jason Kreis when we'd sub somebody in and it'd be like, okay, that's fine.
And I wonder if that's having a little too high expectations. But I agree with you because it was kind of like, okay, we have Mofsisian, we have Plata, we have Burrito, Javi, Beckerman, Mulholland, Beltran, Wingert, Mond, Gladden, Raimondo. Who comes in?
Yeah, who do we put in to replace one of those guys?
Yeah, exactly. And it's not that they're bad players. It's not that we dislike them.
Right.
It's just that we have a sort of unlucky routine of letting late goals in.
Right.
I think a few years ago we were the worst team as far as being scored on in the last 30 to 15 minutes.
Right.
Which is just not okay. The first of the season when we were up 2-0 and lost, or sorry,
tied.
Drew
2-2
in Orlando, literally in stoppage time. Happened again in Portland. And listen, I know we went down 2 men.
Yeah.
But still.
Yeah, it's been a problem all season. And
it's just finally, it's great to see it getting fixed.
Right. And to have that, like you said, rotation. And it kind of gives Jeff Kassar, I think, a little break from his criticisms that he's had throughout the years that he's been head coach. Because a lot of people have questioned his rotation methods. Like, for example, this last season against Dallas.
Yeah.
Wait,
last season or last month?
Or last month, sorry.
Yeah.
And people criticized him so much. I mean, we did. When we saw the starting lineup, we're like, well, what the heck are you doing, you know?
And then they showed.
Yeah.
I remember talking about it on this show. They showed up and played incredibly well.
Mm-hmm.
Let a few unlucky goals in. But overall, they did a great job. And I think the future of Real Salt Lake looks bright. Listen, we didn't sign anyone in the transfer window.
Yeah.
Understand, though, fans listening, that a transfer window means that we can pick up players from another team. So with that closed, that doesn't mean we can't pick up a new player.
Right.
That just means we can't trade a team for another player. We can pick up another player who is not under a contract still. However, one of the things that they mentioned is that we're kind of in for the long game. Weibel and Kassar are shooting for the long game, and I really like it because it's showing dividends in our young players.
And we need that because the core of our team is old. You look at Raimondo, Beckerman, Javi. Mofsisian. They're all older than what you want, you know. So I remember thinking that last year. Like, we'd have to address those positions and, like, how do you go about replacing them? And Jeff Kassar has started the process of doing that.
Yeah, so shout out to all of our scouts, general manager Craig Weibel, and all of our coaches who've just done a fantastic job making sure not only that our team stays relevant, but that we stay elite. I think that Real Salt Lake has been considered one of the elite teams of the league for the last few years. Last year was really unfortunate that we didn't make the playoffs, but I think we'll start getting back to that rhythm.
Right.
And speaking of an incredibly elite rhythmic team, how was the women's Olympic team game? I didn't watch, because I'll be fair, I don't necessarily watch the Olympics.
Yeah.
I have nothing against it. It's not something I watch, but.
Well, I didn't really see. I saw the highlights.
Okay.
So I did a little bit better than you, but they played France.
Yeah.
And won 1-0.
Okay.
They're playing.
From what I heard, by the heroics of Hope Solo, our goalkeeper, who's just amazing.
Yeah.
And he.
Yeah, Hope Solo had an amazing game and another clean sheet to her record of clean sheets. but yeah, we beat France 1-0 and we play Colombia for the next part of the group stage.
They're a pretty good team.
Yeah, and actually France beat Colombia the first game of the group stages 4-0. So I don't know if that says anything for our team, and you know, the thing with the women's soccer team is we just, like, we don't have
really
a lot of
good.
Yeah, like, and not to like jinx us or anything like that, but like, we just in the past year or two we have not had a lot of competition on that front. I mean, you look at the last World Cup for women's, and we beat Japan. I think it was what, 4-5-0?
It was more than that. I think it was closer to 7.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
It was pretty bad.
Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, you just look at that, and I mean, that's the final. Like, this isn't just some random team. I mean, it was Japan who made it to the final.
Previous World Cup winner against us in penalty kicks, no less.
Yeah. So if you want to feel patriotic, and also get your, you know, get some soccer experience in there, you can go watch the women's soccer team and feel good about our team winning, you know, because with the men's team, unfortunately, that doesn't happen quite as often as the women's team. But yeah, the women's team's doing great. And so we'll see how that goes with the game against Colombia. I think that's later this week. I don't actually remember the time, but let's see. It's actually August 9th, 4 p.m.
Awesome.
So,
tomorrow.
Yeah. And that kind of brings back this thing of like the U.S. and international play. And I don't know. I guess soccer for women and soccer for men are two different games. But I wonder if our men's team can take any tips from our women's team.
Possibly. I mean, I remember asking a good friend of mine if he could sign Carly Lloyd for Real Salt Lake, because I would love to have her on Real Salt Lake.
Yeah, it's true.
Just scoring goals on everyone. We play Timmy Howard later this month, and I would love to just see her get goal after goal after goal in on him.
Yeah. No, that would be a great thing, and the women's team just has something going right for it.
Yeah, the women's soccer has been in the Olympics since 1996, and of those 4 years, this would be the fifth year, since it's every 4 years, right?
Right.
The women's soccer team has won 4 gold medals, and the worst they have done is the silver medal. Which is incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, they are 90 minutes away from every single gold medal that the tournament has even had.
Right.
Which is incredible. I mean, I don't think anyone really has that kind of luck or skill and commitment to the game. And it's just wonderful to see and get behind. I understand that the Winter Olympics, especially since we're in the Rockies and we've hosted it before,
right,
is probably more viewed, right? Probably more a bigger deal is made out of it. It could also help that it's in the winter when not a lot of things are going on, and versus the summer where, well, you have a lot of people on vacation, you have a lot of people out doing other things. Maybe they don't want to be stuck inside watching some sports, right?
Right.
But you owe it to yourself to watch amazing athletes do the best at their skill.
Right. And with the Olympics going on, I've just caught a few random things. I saw a volleyball, men's volleyball the other day. Of course, the relay race for swimming, the 400-meter relay race, which Michael Phelps has his 19th gold medal, which is insane.
Wow.
And
someone needs to put him on a Wheaties box.
Serious. He just, as long as he doesn't get caught smoking weed again. yeah, we, you know, like, it just shows, like, especially for that relay race when we won, because we were actually behind. It was, if you want, like, the American dream in about 3 minutes, go watch that race, because we're not actually in the lead until Michael Phelps comes in at number two and barely gets ahead. So I, like, my run roommate, who watches swimming quite a bit and knew quite a bit about it, he told me about, like, the lineup and everything. And he, you know, he was saying it was so crazy that Michael Phelps was number two, because the number two spot is the slowest person on the relay team. And so even the announcers were like, this is kind of weird. Like, obviously Michael Phelps isn't the slowest on that team, but it was a smart decision, because they ended up, Michael Phelps was able to get them a little bit of a lead, which ended up, you know, us winning the race. And so it's kind of cool to watch that and see that. And going back to what we were talking about watching athletes doing what they do best, it is insane to watch these Olympians do, like, what they've trained so much for, just all across the country. And obviously it's really great when the United States wins an event or does really well. But, like, even watching the other countries, like, we were talking last night, me and some of my roommates, about how cool it would be to go to the Olympics, where the United States wins an event, you know, and you're there to watch it. Like, how patriotic would you feel if you're in another country, your country just won that event? You know, I just feel like it'd be a surreal experience. But for women's soccer, you can do that quite a bit. Like, pretty much almost every time they play.
Well, way over my head with the swimming and Michael Phelps. So, taking it back to more important things. No, I'm kidding. To our listeners who not necessarily like us, but want to be like us, just don't know the lingo. This Soccer for Slackers segment that we have coming up has to do with the goal we talked about earlier.
Right.
Garcia's goal. Again, Sean, if you can just give me your thought process.
All
just
right.
So the viewers at home can know. This is how you will lead the conversation. Go ahead.
So basically, I'm watching the game at home from my couch.
Okay.
And Javier gets the ball at the top of the box. I'm like, all right. He's kind of dancing around, and I'm comfortable with Javier with the ball.
Yeah.
Like, and then he passes the ball to the middle to, I'm hoping, Burrito.
Well, let's back it up for a second.
Okay.
We don't necessarily do very well when we pass it into the middle.
Yeah.
At least at the top of the 18-yard box, yeah. Right? Because what it does is it allows both center backs and even a few defensive midfielders to close in
right.
on anyone who is in the middle. And it's really hard to get out of there.
Yeah.
And it's really easy for anyone to just stick their leg out and block a shot.
Yeah.
And so I think that we have more success going in from the wing.
Right.
And maybe crossing it in and just getting a lucky shot or just booting it from outside of the box if you're Luke Mulholland.
Right.
Every so often we'll have Burrito, who is just incredible, and will get past a handful of guys in the middle and chip it in, like against DC earlier this month.
Exactly.
But go on, continue.
So yeah, he passes to the middle. I'm hoping, like I said, to Burrito.
Plata, maybe.
Maybe Plata.
Sure.
And then I see Omez, and I'm like, well, freak, this play's over. You know, like, he's going to turn the ball over. He's going to dribble too much. This is all true.
That begs the question, though. Is it an Ole Miss thing or is it an RSL thing that we dribble a little too much in the box?
I would say it's an RSL thing, but it is showed over and over again with Ole Miss specifically.
Okay.
Just
so our viewers know.
Yeah, and to everyone that was watching the game with me, I mean, they know that this is what happened. I mean, some of the stuff I can't say over the radio, but basically I was like, what are you doing? And then he, like, takes the shot. And it is the slowest shot in the world.
Yeah, I mean,
and I was like, I wasn't even gonna watch it because I was like, the goalie's gonna pick that up. Like, that is going freaking so slow.
I remember, literally just putting my hands over my eyes and just frustration, for yeah. lack of a better term, and just utter frustration. Like, are you kidding me?
I guess,
like, you're going to take that shot from there.
Yeah, and it's like, I felt like every emotion possible, like, throughout that whole play, like, felt comfort with Javi, felt panic with Olmez, felt frustration when he shot it, and then it scores, and I was confused, and then happy,
yeah,
and then back to confused again.
Yeah, so let's just break it down for you listeners. So when you talk to your coworkers and you want to show that you know a little bit about soccer, this is sort of the things you can say.
Right.
What he did, or at least what it looked like, I don't know if they discussed it too much.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about it a little bit on the ESPN 700 postgame show, but he, like, was able to get, or at least look like he got a good rotation on his hip.
Right.
And it looked like he was just going to clock that thing.
Yeah.
Right? It looked like he was just going to boot it. And he went against the grain, right, and was able to be blocked. The line of sight was blocked by a few defenders.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure if it took a deflection. Can you?
It didn't look like it, and they didn't say anything about a deflection. It just looked like it went on the ground and rolled.
Yeah, okay.
Rolled in.
So he went against the grain of the grass, which is really hard to get through. It's really hard to knuckle a ball against the grain, and you could tell the goalkeeper had gone to his right already, and the ball just kind of slowly rolled past his left.
Yeah.
It looked like he was going. He realized his mistake after his line of vision to the ball was, you know, there.
Yeah.
But by then it was – no, I wouldn't even say by then it was too late, because it really didn't
look
like
it. It was so slow.
It really didn't look like it was still too late, because he was going to his right, and then he notices where the ball is, and he goes towards his left, but it looked like he maybe slipped.
Yeah.
Fell backwards. I don't know.
Yeah.
And it just kind of rolled right by him.
Yeah.
And even his defenders were like, they had their arms up like, are you joking me right now?
Yeah.
I mean, like, that was so slow. How did that go in?
Right. And and that's what I was going to say. Like, if another Soccer for Slackers thing with Raimondo winning all those, different records and holding all those records by himself now, if you go back and look at some of those highlights, or even the highlights from this last game, like, it makes you wonder how much Real Salt Lake would win without Nick Raimondo. Because you think about if we had a goalie like Chicago. And, you know, I'm not discrediting him. He just seems like he's going through a rough patch.
He's definitely not their starting keeper. I think they saved Johnson for their Open Cup match on Tuesday.
Right. So you just imagine if we had a goalie that wasn't Nick, and all the chances that he saves. In the game on Saturday, he had one of his famous double saves, which is basically, so they came down. The guy had a pretty much a open net. It was just him and Raimondo. Raimondo saves it on a reaction save, gets back up. The guy, went right back to the shooter. He shoots again. Nick's, hits it with his leg and saves it. And the coach, it showed the coach right after that, and he was getting ready to celebrate, and then he just, like, put his hands down the field. Like, what do you do? Like, how can you beat that?
That's the law of Wasatch.
Right. And so another Soccer for Slackers topic is, you could just talk about Nick Raimondo and how unlikely of a great goalkeeper he is, because he's short, too, for a goalie.
Yeah.
He, I think he's, like, 5'10", 5'11".
Something like that.
And normally goalies are 6 feet and above.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people, I actually remember my freshman year, I was talking soccer with this guy from, he's a foreign exchange student from London.
Okay.
And he's like, oh, so you guys like soccer here? And I was like, yeah, I like Real Salt Lake, and he didn't know who that was, of course, which is fine. But I was like, yeah, we have this really good goalkeeper, Nick Raimondo. And I show him like a highlight video. I think this is back in 2013, when he was a candidate at least for goalie of the year. And he just couldn't believe it. He's like, this short, like, guy is like one of the most amazing keepers I've seen, so that's another Soccer for Slackers topic. I would also say a third one, if you're feeling ambitious, or maybe there's a girl or a guy that likes soccer that you want to impress, Portland played Sporting Kansas City this week, and they got both of teams got a red card within the first 20 minutes, which is pretty crazy, on some pretty bad tackles.
Yeah.
I would say,
well, Tara swung at Benny Fellhaver.
Yeah.
But that's none of our business. I really, really really dislike Betty Fellhaber. I wish he had hit him harder.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, really, if you just go on MLSsoccer.com and you watch the highlights from this week, I was telling CJ yesterday when we were planning our show, it was just an exciting week in soccer all the way around, which kind of brings us into our preview for this week.
Well, first of all, stop being a slacker.
Yeah.
Listen to soccer for slackers, but stop being a slacker and relying on us and watch a few games.
Right.
You owe it to yourself to watch really good athletes play at the best of their levels.
Yeah, and if Ethan was here, I would tell him to get to a game.
Rest his soul.
And maybe he's already at a game, you know?
If they have soccer in heaven, and I'm sure they do, I'm positive Ethan's watching it right now.
And, yeah, so it brings us into our new our preview, because we play Seattle this week.
We play Seattle.
And Seattle had an interesting game as well. So they played at Orlando. Orlando scored on their very first corner of the game, 6 minutes in. And this kind of shows, this game shows that just because you have a good start doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win.
However, common, you know, that's just classic Seattle right there.
Yeah.
This season, unfortunately. They recently fired their only head coach,
right,
since they've been in the MLS since 2009.
Which is crazy all on its own.
Yeah. They recently fired their head coach, Siggy Smith. He is one of the most respected, and I think he's won the most games.
Right.
It's between him and Bruce Arena, but I think Siggy has him beat.
Okay.
But, yeah, after years with the Sounders, they finally let him go, and they've had a really bad season.
Right.
Listen, we had a not great season last year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're always going to – a few years ago, I think DC United broke the record for least amount of wins or most amount of losses.
Yeah.
In 2013.
Okay.
Well, not in 2013, but ever. In league history,
wow,
that was just the year 2013, and then mm-hmm. they come back – since then, and they've made the playoffs each year.
Right.
Okay, you're going to have a few bad seasons. It's expected. But, I mean, as of this minute, it's classic Seattle to just kind of let that first goal in early. But they didn't let them break them down. Go ahead and keep that.
Yeah, so, you know, you look at Real Salt Lake and, like, you know. But You look at Real Salt Lake and their performance against Seattle last time, and we won 2-1, which was a great win. And I actually remember the first time we played them this season. I was at the game, and they had, you know, down. I wasn't actually sitting down there with you that particular game because we didn't know each other that well yet. But the fan section down there made a chant saying something, you Dempsey, over and over.
Ah. Something you Dempsey. I like it.
Yeah, it's a good
ring to it.
It has a good ring. But you look at this game, and yeah, so they go down 1-0 really early, 6 minutes in, and then they come back to win 3-1. And so, you know, we can't take them lightly. Obviously, nobody ever takes Seattle lightly.
Yeah, they're still a great team. Let's be honest with ourselves. Up until this year, they've made the playoffs consecutively since
right.
they've been a team, and this year they're in danger of it. I don't necessarily know how many points behind the red line they are, but I definitely know they're lowest team in the West.
Right.
Which, you know, it's never a great place to be in, especially with a club as seasoned and as elite as Seattle. They've won a supporter shield, literally a handful of open cups, I think five
right.
or at least four. They're just a really storied club, and it's kind of sucks to see them, and definitely you don't want to take them lightly, but it kind of is unfortunate to see them so low.
Right. And the thing with this game too, as I was watching the highlights, is they, all three of their goals, were on plays where they would isolate the goalkeeper for Orlando. It might've been two of them specifically that I remember, but, the first one, he makes the initial save, it goes back to the shooter, and he passes over to the middle where, you know, there's nobody, and he, you know, the goalie has no chance. The second goal, they do a long through ball over the top, and the goalie comes out trying to punch it out. The Seattle striker is able to pull it down and chip it over to Dempsey, 6-yard box, no goalie, like, that's 100%.
Yeah.
You know, and then so I kind of noticed as I was watching those highlights, like, we got to be careful when we play them this week to really make sure our back line is performing well, which they have been, especially with all the rest that we've been getting in the rotations, which I don't know if you saw this on the when you were at the game, but on the commentary, they were saying something happened with Chris Winger. I mean, I know he obviously got subbed off, but, like, he was holding his arm and...
Yeah, he went in for a header.
Okay.
And he jumped really high, and the guy just kind of went in on him, played the man instead of the ball. He just went right over and landed on his shoulder really, really badly. It looked bad. I honestly thought he broke his wrist. The way he landed looked bad enough that it looked like he had broken something. And he was holding it. He was, like, really favoring that wrist of, or that arm of his.
Right.
And then I think he got bumped into or had a rough tackle later in the game.
Right.
And it was that same thing. He was holding that arm and kind of favoring that arm a bit.
Okay. So that'll be interesting to see this next week. Hopefully he's okay. If not, the good thing is, like we were saying, like, we've got competition. We've got players to fill those spots. But it's, you know, it's always unfortunate to have a starter like that go down.
Yeah.
You know, even though I'm not the biggest Chris Wingert fan, he is consistent.
Yep.
And, you know, DeMar Phillips will probably most likely be the sub for him if that is the case. And Phillips, you know, is a completely different player than Wingert.
Well, let's take a look at things. Okay, so we're going to Seattle.
Yep.
First of all, I want to correct myself. They are not worst in the West. Houston owns that record. However, they're at 24 points in 22 games. Okay. The Vancouver is sitting just below the red line, the red playoff line, with 30 points from 24 games.
Right.
So if Seattle wins their next two games that they have in hand on Vancouver, they'll be level with them. They won't be to Portland yet,
right,
who's at 32 points, but they'll be at least in contention for a playoff position.
Right.
So we just got to do what we can, but we're going on turf,
yep,
okay, which means we likely won't start Javi, or if we do start Javi, won't play him for very long, especially since you said we have some competitors vying for that spot after he's gone, because you're not going to replace Javi while he's able to be out there.
Right.
But it is turf. We likely won't see Olave.
Right.
Which is probably why we saw him this past weekend, so we can rest glad.
Yeah.
Beckerman might get subbed off because turf is just really, really hard on your body.
Right. And if some of our listeners are lifelong listeners and listen to all of our shows, the very first show we did on this on here was about turf versus grass.
Yeah.
And so just be aware of those. Turf makes the game a lot faster.
Yep.
The ball, you know, travels a lot quicker. And talking with people that have played on turf and grass, turf, you have to be so perfect with your pass placement. Also, the ball takes weird bounces when it's passed. Where grass, it kind of has a more natural kind of feel. So pay attention. That's almost a soccer for slackers kind of thing.
Definitely.
If you are watching the game this weekend, and you see, you know, all of a sudden a player's running for a ball and it takes a weird bounce and it looks like the player wasn't expecting it, it's because they weren't. So just be aware of that. And Seattle's always a tough place to go and play.
Yeah, it's a tough place. Their fans are incredible. The field is crap because it's turf.
Right.
However, I don't know if we're going to rely more on speed with our young guys or if we're going to need to get more technical, you know, because like you said, the pass has to be perfect. But we will see. One thing I do want to mention is Nelson Valdez likely got the worst miss in league history.
Oh, really?
It was a sitter. Morris went right into him. It was 1v goal. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally, if Morris had hit it and it ricocheted off of a brick wall, it would have done a better job than Valdez. And I'm not kidding. Okay, go look at it. Go look at the highlights.
I'll go look at the highlights.
Okay, Fox Sports has written about it on Facebook, so look them up and just watch that highlight because it is bad. And he's getting paid $1.2 million, which is pocket change to other sports, but it's pretty big in soccer.
Okay? Right.
He is getting paid $1.2 million a season to score goals for Seattle.
Exactly.
And since then, I think he's had one regular and two overall.
Right.
So one in the regular season. I think he had a goal against LA in the playoffs, but he's getting paid a bunch of money
to score,
and he hasn't yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Chicago, as you stated earlier, is winless in their last 35 on the road.
Right.
But Real Salt Lake loves to just break people's records and give them that first win on the road.
It is true.
Or, you know, whatever. So I really hope Nelson Valdez doesn't come and produce. But Seattle hasn't had the best of years. Let's take advantage of that. Let's take advantage of their new coach. Mm-hmm. Let's get in there and exploit their weaknesses and just get a few more in.
Yeah.
And I think we will. I mean, we have Javi, who scored three goals in the last three games. Okay. Mm-hmm. We have Garcia, who's scoring.
Right.
We have Blata scoring. You know, we have Mofsisian, who's going to come back in maybe and do some major goals. We have Glad and Mond, who are probably like, oh, crap, am I going to lose my position to Olave now? I don't know. Better step it up. We have Nick Raimondo, who just won a record.
It's going to be a fun week.
Let's keep this hype train going.
Right. All right, guys. So, fortunately, we're out of time. We will see you guys next week. Thanks so much for listening. Have a good week.